Welcome to the Caltex Theater, a full hour of dramatic entertainment broadcast over a nationwide network of stations throughout Australia. The Caltex Theater is brought to you by Caltex Oil, marketers of over 1,000 outstanding petroleum products, in association with Caltex dealers and distributors everywhere. Tonight, the Caltex Theatre presents The Facts of Life, the story of a self-possessed teenager whose nightly meanderings prompted a man-to-man chat with father that turned out to be much, much too late. In the starring role tonight, you will hear Ray Hartley. The Caltex Theatre presents The Facts of Life, Act One.
What you want, you bird?
Oh, there you are. You gave me quite a turn.
What's the matter? Scared of the dark?
No, but I didn't expect you to be lurking in the shadows like that, so to speak.
Look, Nipper, I says by the town hall at dusk, I means by the town hall at dusk. There's a purpose behind it. Lots of characters might spot me what I wouldn't want to spot if it was broad daylight. Follow me?
Oh, yes, of course.
Now then, how do we stand? You got it with you?
Yes, here, in my wallet.
Real money. Does me heart good to clap eyes on it. All present and correct? Yeah, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40.
Oh, he's at it again. Really, Alan, it's becoming impossible.
Yeah, it certainly is. What's the point of cutting the electricity off?
Hey?
Either we pay their bill tomorrow or we're left in darkness.
I was talking about Jonathan, darling.
Jonathan?
Our son.
What the dickens has Jonathan got to do with the electricity being cut off?
Nothing, Alan. But I've just been watching him out the window. He's at it again.
At what again?
Oh, darling, sometimes I think you never hear a word I say. Haven't I told you that Jonathan conscientiously disappears almost every night between 7 and 10 o'clock?
He does? What for?
Oh, that, my sweet, is the question. I should think as his father you'd be rather concerned about it. After all, he's only 13, and it is rather strange behavior.
I should ask him about it sometime if I were you. Now, to come back to this bill.
Oh, don't worry about the bill. Don't think about Jonathan. If you do, you'll give a bad performance again. And then we shall neither be able to pay any bills nor keep Jonathan in the manner to which he's accustomed.
Was it absolutely necessary to use the word again in that remark? I can remember giving one or two indifferent performances, but never a bad one. Besides, I'm used to performing in the midst of worries of one sort or another.
Oh, sorry, darling. I don't want to upset you. I know it's a first night and you're all keyed up. But really, Jonathan's beginning to puzzle me.
And I am perpetually puzzled by where our money goes to. Money today is largely an illusion. You think you have it and you're invariably wrong. I think I have £30 a week, but have I?
But of course not. That's only when you're working.
All right. Say I average £20. Do I have it? By the time various taxes have been deducted and you've had your whack, I'm left with a minus quantity.
Oh, poor sweetie. You're quite sure you'd rather I didn't come to the theatre tonight?
Quite sure. I'm always nervous if I know you're watching. More nervous than usual, that is.
Well, I'll stay quietly at home then. And tomorrow, perhaps, you will give a little thought to Jonathan, won't you?
Jonathan? By Jove, I've just remembered. Little beast crept up to me this afternoon, handed me a slim envelope and slunk off again. I was too busy with my lines to take much notice.
Alan, his school report. Well, of course it's time it was in. Well, for goodness sake, where is it?
Oh, hold on. I've got it here somewhere. Ah, his school report, eh?
Huh? What's it say? Is it good?
Well, no reason to suppose it's better than the others. Well, let's see. History not very good. Oh, that's a familiar opening.
Oh, well, history's not his bright spot.
His work at the moment is that of a child 4 or 5 years his junior. I say.
Oh, well, I was like that, I remember. And anyway, what's the use of history in later life?
English. Spelling appalling. Writing almost indecipherable. Ideas vague and woolly, at times almost illiterate. Very little sign of progress. Blimey.
Well, darling, you've had theatre critiques as bad as that.
I have not.
Oh, I'm sorry. First night.
No wonder the little devil waited until I was preoccupied to slip his school report to me.
Well, Alan, I'm worried about him. I think he's going through a phase.
A what?
A phase. It's a thing young people go through.
Young people only?
No, but, well, Jonathan's 13.
Is that a mystic number?
Oh, darling, you can be very stupid at times. Our son is growing up. Soon his voice will break.
Oh, I see what you mean. But damn it, that's got nothing to do with spelling appalling, writing almost indecipherable.
Look. Now, look. Here's a bright spot. Now, this bit about mathematics. Well, isn't it?
Huh? Mathematics. Unorthodox in the extreme. Jonathan seems to want to run before he can walk, but it cannot be denied that he has undoubted talent. His work is slipshod and erratic, but often brilliant. With more care, he might become an extremely able mathematician. Could call that good, I suppose.
Yeah, it's much better than the others.
The entire report is worse than any he's ever had. The boy has slipped back. Where is he, Marjorie? I think I'd better have words with him.
Oh, well, darling, not now. You have to go to the theatre.
No, now. I'm in the mood to talk to him. Fetch him.
But I can't.
Eh? Why not?
Well, I told you he's out. He goes out every night between the hours of 7 and 10.
What for, in heaven's name?
Oh, well, that's just it. I tried to tell you earlier, don't you remember? I don't know what he goes out for.
You don't?
Haven't the foggiest.
You know, I don't like the sound of that at all.
Well, thank goodness it's penetrated at last.
Well, that's up to something. He's obviously neglecting his work for some foolish pursuit. You ought to keep a sharper eye on him.
I ought to?
Well, you see a lot more of him than I do. In the natural order of things, at his present age, you should be his best friend and confident. Hello, what's this?
What's what?
Bottom of the report, general remarks.
Well, what does it say?
Signed by the head. In my opinion, Jonathan is given too much money to spend as he pleases. I quite understand that parents wisely desire to inculcate a sense of responsibility in the young by placing sums of money in their hands, but when it comes to £5 notes, I really feel the line has to be drawn. Many of our senior boys have no more than 5 shillings pocket money a week, and the presence of much more in the possession of a younger pupil is ill-advised and can only lead to discontent and even covetousness among the other boys. £5?
Oh, it's a joke, surely.
Now, look here, my dear. I know Jonathan is unfortunately our only child, and I can quite understand your tendency to spoil him a little, but giving him £5 notes is going just a little too far. Even if I could spare them, which I can't.
But it wasn't me. I've never given him more than 3 shillings a week in my life.
You haven't? But you must have. He certainly didn't get any fivers from me.
And I can assure you he's never had one from me. Oh, darling, the headmaster wouldn't make up a thing like this. And it's quite obvious that Jonathan hasn't received the money from us. So, I know.
What?
Who? Your mother. She's always had an ambition for Jonathan to carry on the morbid theatrical tradition of your family, and it's just the sort of fat-headed way she would go about cajoling the boy.
My mother was left a small annuity of 200 a year when my father passed away. Apart from that, she might get 2 parts a year in third-rate rep. It's hardly likely that on such an income, she'd be in a position to throw fivers around. Your father is a much more likely person for the office. He's a gay old rip who's never remotely known the value of LSD.
No, that won't do, Alan. Father's consistently and horribly broke. Well, why would he be forever round to borrow from me if he was giving money away to Jonathan? No, horses and cricket. They claim father's entire financial attention.
Then where is the boy getting it from? Have you lost any money lately?
No, every penny accounted for. Have you?
Nope. Can place it all down to the last sixpence.
Odd.
Uncanny.
You don't think...
Well, what?
It couldn't be his bad blood coming out.
What bad blood?
Well, you know, heredity and all that.
I do not know. Anyway, I thought that sort of thing meant drink.
Oh, well, there's never been any drink in your family, as far as I know.
In my family?
Well, of course. Don't you see what I'm getting at? You had an uncle who was a kleptomaniac.
You're not suggesting...
And another who swizzled people on the stock exchange.
He did nothing of the sort. Anyway, you had a grand-aunt who was convicted for arson.
Oh, really, darling? Well, what do you mean, Jonathan isn't burning anything?
Nor did my benighted relatives go out pinching between 7 and 10 of an evening. Oh, Lord.
What?
You see, I've said it. Pinching.
Well, I'm sure it can't be altogether Jonathan's fault.
There, you've said it too. Might as well face it, Marjorie. We've raised a thief.
Oh, now, darling, that's a snap judgment.
And the only possible explanation of where he gets the money from. Oh, hell, what a build-up for a splendid performance tonight.
Oh, well, don't let it worry you, Alan. Just forget about it.
Forget about it? That's easy, isn't it? Oh, well, I'd better be getting along.
Alan, it couldn't be girls, could it?
Girls? You mean women?
Well, yes.
Well, he's a bit young for that, isn't he?
Well, I don't know. Well, is he?
Why ask me? I wasn't precocious. Anyway, where will the fiver come in?
Well, Jonathan's a strange child, but could it be girls?
Well, you should know.
I should know? Well, what do you mean by that?
Your father. He's something of a gay old rip, isn't he?
You leave my father out of this.
Oh, poor Jonathan. He's got that in his blood too, hasn't he? Poor little
Alan, if you're not going to take this seriously, you might as well go.
I am going, and I'm perfectly serious. Pinching from me and you know what from you. Poor Jonathan, the original crazy mixed-up kid, isn't he? Well, I'll leave you with that thought, my dear. Good night.
Marjorie.
Daddy, lovely to see you.
Door was open, so I let myself in. Where's Alan?
Oh, at the theatre. It's the first night.
Yeah? Oh, well, we can't all be in honourable professions. Where's Jonathan?
He's out.
Oh, just as well. I brought him a present. Look.
No present? What for?
Well, why shouldn't I bring him a present? I'm very fond of him.
Well, what is it?
I'll show you. There.
A cricket bat?
Well, high time the little blighter took it up seriously.
Looks expensive. Much more than you can afford.
Huh?
Well, isn't it? Considering the amounts of money you're usually obliged to borrow, I fail to see why you should suddenly lavish such bounty on Jonathan.
You haven't forgotten that tomorrow is Jonathan's birthday.
His birthday? Oh, Lord.
You have?
It completely went out of my head. There were other things about Jonathan that... Well, it doesn't matter. But if it's his birthday, what on earth did you want to buy him that thing for?
Marjorie, one does not refer to a cricket bat as that thing. It's full size and genuine.
Ah, now, Daddy, why don't you give in? On his birthday, you're supposed to bring a child something he'd like. Well, you may as well face up to it. Jonathan hates cricket.
Nonsense. He's never given it a chance.
He just isn't any good at games. He isn't the stuff cricketers are made of.
But he must be. Look what's behind him. You're my daughter, aren't you? And he's your son. I played for England 27 times, my father before me 25 times. And his father, the boy's great-grandfather, 39 times, a record in his day.
Perhaps females don't pass on instincts of any sort.
Poppycock!
You mean, you think they do?
Their primary function, as far as I can see.
Well, then, is it true, Daddy, that you're a gay old rip?
Huh? What the devil do you mean by that?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about heredity and all that.
Hardly appropriate thoughts for a girl of your years and delicate nature.
On the contrary, it's about time someone considered the boy's antecedents seriously.
Oh, Lord, the old battle axe.
Why, Mrs. Peters, do come in.
Well, the door was open. Where's my son, at the theatre?
Yes.
I sent him a telegram. I didn't want to upset him by going myself.
Very wise move.
Oh, good evening. Here you are, Marjorie. Parcels for our little darling. Not to be opened until tomorrow.
Oh, thank you. I'm sure he'll love them.
But, what's this? Not a gift for Jonathan, surely?
Well, yes.
It's a cricket bat, as anybody with half an eye could see.
Oh. Well, children have to play, I suppose. Relieves the stresses of their nature. But I bought the boy something sensible. Complete Shakespeare and a little makeup outfit with beards and moustaches.
He'll never touch either of them.
It's early training that counts. If Jonathan can only get the smell of the theatre, I'm sure he'll make an actor in spite of his reluctance.
What? With his awful memory? Acting's a damn fool business as far as I can see. But people tell me chaps who take it up have to be able to remember lines. Now look here, why don't we combine our efforts to give him the smell of cricket?
Of a game? What the bard would call an immanent toy? Oh, no, let's be practical. A man must spend his life doing something useful. Quite apart from the fact, of course, that Jonathan would never be any good at anything like that. He's a horrible butterfinger.
Oh, that's only nervousness. That'll pass.
So will a bad memory.
Oh, look, why don't you two stop bickering and leave it to Jonathan to decide what he'll do? I don't care what it is, as long as it's something decent and honourable. And
what?
Oh, nothing.
What's the matter?
My dear, you're upset.
No, no, it's nothing really. It's just that sometimes I wonder if I've been a good mother to Jonathan.
Well, don't look at me. I've never had any experience in that line myself.
Well, if you haven't, I have. Now, what is it, my dear? Have you had a misunderstanding with your son?
I'm beginning to wonder if I've ever had any understanding at all. Suddenly I feel that Jonathan is remote, not a part of me. And it can't be anybody else's fault but mine. So is it any wonder he's behaving as though... Excuse me, I'll have to leave you for a moment or two.
What was all that about?
Oh, women. It appears she forgot his birthday, hasn't a thing for him.
Forgot his birthday? Dear me, that's serious. Why, forgetting Jonathan's birthday is almost like missing an entrance.
Or dropping a catch.
Or muffing a cue in a highly emotional scene.
Yeah, or blocking a googly when a bit of concentration might have cracked it to the boundary.
I must say that your similes are chosen with a very coarse imagery.
Madam, it is time you and I had a drink to celebrate our grandchild's birthday. But what shall we toast? A star cricketer?
And a fine actor.
Or a first-class Butterfingers.
Yes, with a ghastly memory.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Mother.
Have you been out?
Yes.
Do you know the time?
About 9, I suppose.
Don't you hear the clock?
Good heavens. 10 o'clock. I no idea it was so late. I'd better pop off to bed.
Now, just a minute, Jonathan. Where have you been?
Walking.
Walking?
Yes, walking.
You've had nothing to eat?
I had a bun.
Is that all?
2 buns.
I want to know exactly what you've been doing, Jonathan.
But I've told you, walking.
From 7 till 10?
Well, I stopped for buns.
Oh, look. You're a big boy now. Tomorrow's your birthday. You'll be 14. Now, big boys shouldn't tell lies, should they?
No.
I think you're lying to me.
No, honestly, I like walking.
Well, we'll see when your father comes home. You've got us worried if it's any satisfaction to you, Jonathan. This disappearing of yours is just a little much.
Disappearing?
Ah, now what is it, darling? Don't you trust your father and me? Whatever you've done, there's no need to be ashamed of it.
I haven't done anything.
Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have put it like that. But, well, your father now... You should be good friends with him, shouldn't you?
Oh, yes.
You should be able to confide him and ask his advice. Oh, I know he sometimes has a bad temper and he's always wrapped up in something else. But he loves you, Jonathan.
Oh, yes, I know.
He told me he was very worried about your school report.
My school report?
Do you know what was in it?
No, of course not. I couldn't open it. It was addressed to Father.
Well, that's honest anyway. What would you like for your birthday, by the way?
Oh, I don't mind.
Would you like an air gun?
I've got an air gun.
Have you? Who gave it to you?
I don't remember.
Would you like anything for your bicycle?
I've got a cyclometer and a speedometer and a 3-speed and a dynamo.
You have?
Yes.
Oh.
I don't think there's anything else I need for my bicycle.
Well, would you like darts or something?
No, thank you.
I suppose you've got them, too.
Well, actually, I have.
Well, isn't there anything you want?
Oh, not really, thank you.
You've got everything you want?
Oh, yes, I have.
Oh, that's funny. I don't remember you getting everything.
You just sort of acquire them.
I see. Well, would you rather have the money, then?
Oh, no, thanks. I don't need money.
You don't? Not even to buy buns when you're out?
Oh, I have plenty, thanks, Mother.
Well, where does it come from?
Oh, I don't know. You just pick it up here and there.
Do you?
Oh, people are always giving me money.
What people?
What people? All sorts of people. Uncles and aunts and things.
I see. So there's nothing you really want?
Well, there's always books.
Books?
Books on maths. Darlington and Einstein and chaps like that. Of course, I've got them, but there must be some new ones.
Hello, darling.
Oh, Alan. You're back early, aren't you?
I didn't wait for the curtain call. Left immediately after I'd perished from the second act.
Oh, but won't they take exception to that?
Oh, let them. I gave a dreary performance anyway. Too worried about this business of Jonathan. Is he,
Well, good night, everybody.
Oh, no, you don't. You wait a minute. Nice to see you home again.
Nice to be home, Father.
Well, did you hear that, Marjorie? Jonathan says it's nice to be home. Since he's so obviously devoted to the little cot, perhaps, we might persuade him to stay in our midst a little more.
Oh, well, darling, I've spoken to Jonathan. He's a little strained tonight. Perhaps in the morning. It appears he's been walking.
What, from 7 to 10?
Yes, that's right, Father.
Oh, you poor old chap. You must be tired.
Well, yes, I am, and I know I should be in bed, so I'll just pop along.
Like fun, you will. So you've been walking. And how many fivers did you pick up tonight?
Fivers?
Oh, darling.
Yes, you know, all those fivers people drop behind them and you pick up. That's what you go walking for, isn't it? Everyone knows that's the way to pick up fivers galore.
Oh.
You may well say, oh. It so happens your headmaster blew the gaff in his annual report on your conduct. He seemed to think you were rather too well-lined for a boy of your years. I don't mind, you understand, but it's just that people might think I gave you the money. And if that got to the ears of the income tax department, well, it's possible that I might have to go to jail. Then you'd literally rely on your picking up fivers while you're out walking. Jonathan, you know that you've disappointed both your mother and me.
Have I?
Your mother hoped that you would be a cricketer, and I hoped you'd be an actor. But it seems quite clear that you won't be either.
Alan!
That's not your fault, son.
Of course it isn't.
But what we could reasonably expect is that you would be an honest boy, and an honorable boy. Is that too much to expect?
Oh, no.
But you're not, are you? Your mother and I know perfectly well that you don't go out walking of an evening. We also know that you have a great deal more money than you can account for. What are we to think, then, if not that you didn't get the money honestly?
Well, is it wrong to want money?
Well, it's... no, son, that's not wrong.
Well, it seems to be all you're worried about.
It isn't all I'm worried about.
Well, you can give me money if you feel better.
That's not the point. I want you to want money.
All right, I will, if that will help.
You can't make yourself want it if you don't really want it.
Well, you can try.
You can?
Oh, yes. That's what people always seem to want.
What people?
Well, like the people at school. They expect you to like their subjects. Oh, really, they're dull. They're deadly dull. But they expect you to like them, so you try, and sometimes you succeed. Well, sometimes you do. People are funny.
Well, I don't want you to understand my attitude if it's going to be such an effort, but I want to know why you sneak out every night of the week and where you get these fibers from.
Exactly.
What?
Well, you keep jumping to conclusions and thinking you know.
I don't think I know. I think I don't know.
Well, that's something.
Oh?
Well, most people think they know.
What are we talking about?
People.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. We've changed the subject, haven't we?
Have we?
Yes, we were talking about you. At least, I... Oh, go to bed.
You mean it?
Of course I mean it. It's impossible to follow a word you say. But you haven't heard the last of this.
Oh, good old.
Say goodnight to your mother.
Good night, Mom.
Good night, darling.
Good night, Dad.
Sleep well and wake coherent. We've a big day ahead, you and I.
Oh, right.
Well... You might as well have stayed for your curtain call, for all the good that did.
Well, there can't be anything seriously wrong. The boy's too innocent.
You know what they say about innocence, don't you?
Yes. Oh, Lord, who can that be?
The theatre, no doubt, delivering your notice. Now we're out of work again.
Oh, don't worry about that. Jonathan can keep us and never feel the pinch, obviously. Hello. Who? You want to speak to... Well, he's not here at the moment. Could I take a message? What do you want? £20? But how exactly does he owe you a debt of honour? What do you mean, a debt of honour? Look, what is this? Who are... Hello, hello, hello. Ah. Darling.
Oh, but heaven's sake, what was he?
Someone for Jonathan. Said he owed £20. Called it a debt of honor. Rang off without a name.
Oh, Lord. Then he is wrapped up in something shady.
It could be even worse. Darling, it was a woman's voice.
And so the curtain falls on Act One of tonight's Caltex Theatre play, The Facts of Life.
Anywhere you care to travel, more tourists agree. The Caltex now stands for better service. Drive right in and see.
Caltex Butane Boosted is the gasoline made to take better care of your car's performance. Caltex Butane Boosted gasolines give faster starting, smoother acceleration, and more economical running. Next time you fill up, change to Caltex. See if you don't feel a difference. See if your car doesn't respond more readily, tick over more smoothly and steadily. The gasolines designed for today's faster pace, Caltex Butane Boosted gasolines.
The Caltex Theatre now presents Ray Hartley in The Facts of Life, Act Two.
Chromosomes. Yes, here we are. Chromosomes, see cytology.
Oh, dead end. Where do I go now?
Oh, why not look up genetics?
No, this is probably all very silly.
Oh, but darling, we don't know anything about it. Jonathan's aberrant tendencies must come from somewhere.
If the truth be known, it's a throwback to our Paleolithic days. That happens. Ah, genetics. The gene, a conception as reasonable and real as the atom, is to be looked upon as a peculiar state of organization of the chromatin at a particular point in the length of a particular chromosome. Well, that's worth bearing in mind. Sex-linked inheritance in poultry. Well, who wants to know about that?
Oh, poultry breeders, I should think. You know, this is really very good for us. We're learning a lot.
Seems to me you must have snaffled the best volume.
It's fascinating.
Animal behavior psychology. Is Jonathan an animal?
Well, I suppose he is, for the purpose of heredity.
The wrong kind of animal. See cytology. What, again? What is this cytology that everything comes back to it?
Well, why not look it up and see?
I can't. That bit's missing in this book.
Well, try sex, then.
Oh, that's too simple and direct a business for these chaps. I'll bet you anything. Sewer construction, sewing machines. Sex. Sex life in plants. He's not a plant, is he? Ah. Yes, perhaps this is more appropriate. Worms.
Oh. Oh, darling, don't be hard.
Sex life of the worm. It's a thought, isn't it? Have you ever thought about the sex life of the worm?
You know, this heredity stuff is fantastic. Unbelievable.
Have you learned anything to help you cope with the situation?
Yes, I think so.
Will you cope with it?
Oh, Alan, you really are a coward.
Thank you.
Well, you might at least talk to Jonathan.
I will.
Every father has a talk to his son.
I know.
And they don't usually mug up the encyclopedia so that they'll know what to say.
Well, perhaps it'd be better if they did.
Now, look, you've let more than a week pass by. Don't you think you know enough now to give him a lecture?
I suppose so. Is he in?
Yes, I'll get him.
No, I didn't mean
now. Now, shut up a minute. You work out your opening. Oh, and you'd better get all those technical books out of sight.
Now, look here, Oh, Lord, yes. Damn silly. Embryology. Embryology, by Jove. Perhaps that's what I was looking for. Now, let's see. The science of...
You want me, Dad?
Hey, yes. Come in, my boy. Just cleaning up some old volumes of plays here. There. Now then, I think it's about time you and I had a talk.
Yes?
Not only about what's been happening lately, but a real... general talk about everything.
Yes.
I suppose you know you weren't found under a gooseberry bush.
I was beginning to suspect.
You know about sex, then?
We get it in biology.
Biology? Yes, that's the word I was trying to think of.
What?
Hey? Oh, nothing. You still say that phone call was a mistake?
Of course.
Judging by her voice, she must be a very, coarse person.
Well, I didn't speak to her.
And you don't owe anyone £20?
No.
I have no alternative but to believe you.
But you don't?
No. But there are more important things to discuss, so sit down. Now, you know one day you'll be married.
I suppose so.
You don't have to suppose so, I'm telling you.
Yes.
You don't want to bring disgrace or unhappiness on someone you love, do you?
No.
That's why, however difficult it may seem, you've got to take care of yourself before marriage.
Yes.
You're really holding yourself in trust for someone you haven't even met yet.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I think so.
You'll find it easy enough to step aside for idle pleasure, but it's something you'll regret all your life.
Yes.
You do know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Painted ladies.
You know about them?
Yes, you have to be careful, don't you?
Well, it's not a question of being careful. It's a question of morals.
Yes.
It's the same thing as, taking something that doesn't belong to you, really, or money in general. It's very pleasant to spend it, but it's got to be earned.
Yes.
Yes. Well, that covers everything.
Good.
What are you spending your money on now, by the way?
Well, books mainly, and caps.
Caps?
For my gun, to make bangs with.
Oh, I see. Well, I hope you don't squander too much money on them. How many have you got just now?
Rather a lot, I'm afraid.
I asked how many.
5,423.
What?
It was 5,500, but I used rather a lot this morning.
Are you mad, Jonathan? I will not have my money squandered in this way. Do you understand?
Yes.
It's outrageous. Whoever would want so many caps as that?
They last a long time.
That is utterly beside the point. The idea of...
Am I intruding?
Eh? Oh, come in, darling. I was about to give up anyway. You'd better go, Jonathan.
Do you want me to sell the caps again? Because I can if you want
me
to.
No. It's your ambition to build up a stockpile. Far be it from me to frustrate you.
Oh, all right. I'll go out and play then.
Well, what happened? Did you find out any more?
No, but the talk may have done some good. With a lad like that, you just never know. The only thing I've found out is that he seems extraordinarily well supplied with caps.
Caps?
Yes, for his gun, to make bangs with.
Oh, well, that's normal enough. Nothing else?
Not a damn thing.
Well, we seem to draw blanks everywhere. He really did go out for a walk on Wednesday and Saturday. The man who was following him said he'd never walked so far in his life.
I still think he knew he was being followed and didn't do what he normally does.
Well, perhaps I ought to tackle him.
You? What could you do?
Well, I'm not to know. But I've got an idea you didn't make a very good job of your lecture.
What? Why, you monster!
Eh?
Woman! You were listening, weren't you, at the keyhole?
Well, after all, Alan, he's my son as well as yours.
That's no excuse. Of all the sneaking, nasty-minded tricks to play, I say, what is that?
What's what?
There, in that chair. The one Jonathan was sitting in.
Why, it's an envelope.
Do you think...
Is it possible it...
No, give it to me. The one silly mistake. All crooks make it sooner or later. Must have been loose in his back pocket. Did it...
Is it evidence?
I should say it is. It's addressed to Miss Jill Frobisher, 2 Lisbon Grove, North 43.
Oh, dear. Alan...
And it contains... We might have known it. The boy's been lying his head off. Miss Jill Frobisher must be the woman who rang. There's no covering letter, just 4 banknotes. Value, £20.
Yoo-hoo! Anyone home?
Oh, Mrs. Peters.
I came in through the French windows. I dare say you're surprised to see me.
Oh, no. Anytime. Alan, it's your mother.
Darling, I sensed that you were uneasy about Jonathan, so I've come over to help, to see if I can help you.
Well, that's very kind of you, but really it's nothing. The boy is going through a phase.
Oh, men do, perpetually. You know, you'd think adolescence would be enough for any of them, but oh, dear me, no. I well remember the very day Alan's poor father turned 40.
Oh, Mother, this is very nice.
Oh, hello, Alan. Now, what's all this about Jonathan?
What's all what?
Well, Marjorie's just denied that she's remotely worried about him, therefore I deduce that she is.
Mother's intuition. Well, you might tell us what you know.
What I know?
About what? About young boys of 14. Did I make passes at girls when I was 14?
I don't think so.
Neither do I.
Is Jonathan making passes at people?
Well, we're not sure. It looks... Yes, but could he be?
Oh, but really, dear, it's hard to say. A long and varied life has taught me that men are unpredictable. But there can't be anything wrong with Jonathan that less idleness and more honest purpose can't fix.
Jonathan's not idle.
In the deeper sense, dear, he is. He's uncertain. He doesn't know where he's going. It's time he was told that the theatre is to be his life and was made to prepare for it.
Oh.
Mother, there's no sense in rushing things. There's more to this business here.
Oh,
hello, Jonathan.
I was just going out to play.
Well, really, dear, you might answer your grandmother. She said hello.
Hello, Grandmother.
I'll make some tea. You'd like that, wouldn't you, Grandma?
Thank you, Marjorie. Now, Jonathan, have you done what I asked you?
What you asked me?
Yes, now come, you remember about my present to you. We'll go through it now.
Hey, what's all this?
Now, you sit down, Alan. This is quite between Jonathan and myself. You see, while you go about complaining of the boy, I've already started something practical. Now, that passage I marked in Hamlet, Jonathan, the soliloquy.
What? He doesn't know it.
He promised me to learn it, and you have learned it, haven't you, Jonathan?
It's a bit difficult.
Well, darling, I won't be hard on you. Now, go ahead.
To be or not to be, that is the dilemma. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind...
No, that is not right, is it, Jonathan?
No.
Then why did you say dilemma?
Because I can't remember the other word.
Then you must practice. Of course you can remember it now. Go on.
Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slugs and bullets...
Slings and arrows!
Oh... Yes, slings and arrows. I said slugs and bullets to help me remember it.
It's too painful. The last time I heard those words was when your grandfather spoke them at Stratford. You must not sully the memory. Poor boy. Poor afflicted boy.
Can I go out and play now?
Yes. Go, Jonathan, go.
Oh, good old. See you later.
Something practical, eh?
Poor boy. Poor afflicted boy.
Yes, and we still don't know what the poor afflicted boy has been up to. Among other things, it appears he collects a lot of money from unrevealed sources.
Money? Good heavens.
Yes, less and less likely he'll make an actor, isn't it?
Alan, there's someone hanging about outside the house.
What?
I've been watching from the kitchen. I'm certain he's got his eye on this place. A little man, common-looking, with a cap. You'll be able to see him from the French windows.
Really? Well, just a moment.
Is this anything to do with Jonathan?
Oh, who can tell? The way things have been going, I wouldn't be at all surprised to find that the murders in the Rue Morgue were something to do with Jonathan.
Really?
Yes, the chap's casing our place, all right. Hey, you! What do you want? Oh, no, you don't. Hey, he's making a move for it. Marjorie, I'll get him.
Well, Alan, be careful.
Oh, this is like the third act of a thriller. How exciting. Marjorie, what's happening?
I really don't know. Oh, Alan's caught up to the man.
Ow!
He's hit him.
Ow!
Oh, no, the man hit Alan.
Splendid. I haven't felt so refreshed since the scenery fell on the dreary Mort de Plaisance at the curtain rose on the second act of White Cargo.
Mrs. Peters.
Oh, nothing can be wrong with a world where drama comes into the broad light of day. Fetch the first aid kit, Marjorie. I can see I'm going to enjoy myself.
Now, what's your name?
Oh, my eye.
Hey, what about my nose? We'll pass over all that. What's your name?
Ain't no concern of yours.
I think it is. You were spying on this house.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you were.
I say I wasn't.
And I say you were.
Oh, for goodness sake, let's get on with it. Too much dialogue. Brevity is the essence. Let's have some plot.
Aye?
Mother, please, let me handle this.
Well, hadn't we better bring Jonathan in?
Not yet. I want to be sure that this man was looking for him, and I want to know why.
Aye?
You were looking for my son, weren't you? For Jonathan?
No.
I say you were.
All right. I just wondered where he got to, that's all.
Ah, you were expecting him, were you? You had an appointment.
That's right.
Where were you expecting him?
What are you getting at?
Where were you expecting him?
Well, nothing wrong, is there? It's legal, ain't it?
What's legal?
What he does.
I wish you'd be more explicit.
Huh?
I wish you'd tell us what you're talking about.
That's right.
What's right?
What he does.
What does he do?
It's legal, ain't it?
Well, at least it's legal.
You're her father, I take it.
Whose father?
I don't know her name. The girl who rang her last night.
Oh, don't know nothing about no girl.
Have you any daughters?
What a question.
Then your appearance here is entirely unconnected with the girl who rang last night.
That's right.
Well, perhaps Mr.
Smith's as good as any other.
Yes. Perhaps Mr. Smith doesn't realize that we're genuinely worried about our boy.
Now, Marjorie, that's no way to...
Yes, it is. Bull in a china shop tactics will never get you anywhere.
Wouldn't be worried about him if I was you.
Well, we are worried.
That's wrong.
You mean you don't think we've any need to be worried?
That's right.
You know where he goes of a night, then?
It's legal, ain't it?
What's legal?
What he does, what we all does.
Oh, Lord.
Excuse me, I just wondered whether... Oh!
Jonathan, oh, no, you don't. Come back here.
No, Alan, restrain yourself.
Restrain myself, nothing. Come here, you.
Oh, I didn't mean any harm.
No, it isn't that. It's just that we don't want to be deprived of your company any longer. See? Your distinguished friend is here.
Oh.
Hello, Nipper. Didn't ought to have come in.
No. I was looking for my cap gun.
I was nabbed. Accident.
So I see. Have you had...
Has he what?
I was going to ask him if he'd had his tea.
Oh, were you?
Always the little gentleman.
I suppose they've made you tell them.
Yes.
They don't know nothing.
What have you been up to, Jonathan?
Yes, what have you been up to?
Where did you pick up this gentleman?
He's an expert.
An expert? In what?
In rain.
An expert in rain? You mean he knows when it's coming on?
And when it's going off.
I see. You find that useful?
Very useful.
And what does it tell you?
Well, are they going to run, of course.
Are they going to run? How what are going to run?
Anything.
How what run, Jonathan? Horses?
No.
I've got it. Dogs. That's it, isn't it?
Dogs?
Is that where you go, Jonathan? The dogs?
Yes.
Well, this explains a lot. So you go to the dogs. Have you been winning or losing?
Winning.
Isn't there a law about juveniles?
Yes. That explains this character and the girl, too, I suppose.
Yes.
They put on the money for you.
Yes.
And you've been winning.
Yes.
And what happens when you lose?
I don't lose.
Oh, he doesn't lose. Well, now we know. And I hope you realize, Jonathan, just what a shock it is to discover that... That's how you've been spending your time?
Yes.
We thought that you were a nice little boy. And now we find you've been hanging around dog tracks, associating with low characters, and dragging your father's name in the gutter. The name we hoped you'd put in lights one day.
You may go to your room, Jonathan.
Oh, yes.
Your father will be up presently.
It's wrong.
I beg your pardon. But you have something more to say?
It's not fair. Cry and shame to swear the kid off.
You must leave me to be the judge of it.
Interfering busybodies. Hey, listen, kid. What's the formula for tomorrow? Quick.
3WV multiplied by W over WR multiplied by M minus AP squared multiplied by T over H minus AS.
Oh, I can't remember all that. Haven't you got it in writing?
Hey, what the dickens? What are you talking about?
His formula, of course. It's wonderful. Never fails.
Hey, Jonathan has a formula.
For winning. It's mathematical. It's marvellous.
What on earth is...
Come on, Nipper. Write it down.
Afternoon, all.
Father.
You know why I've come, don't you? Time for Jonathan's cricket lesson. Never fear, Marjorie. We'll make a player out of him yet. Oh, Mrs. Peters, I didn't expect to see you.
Well, I came to give Jonathan a lesson in acting.
As I live and breathe, Mr. Stanford.
Huh? Well, I'm damned. Curly, what are you doing here?
You know this character.
Know him? Curly's given me some of the best tips I've ever had in my life. I say, what is it, Alan? You taking up the dogs? Couldn't have a better man than Curly to advise you.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Stanford.
It appears that Jonathan is the one who's been reaping the benefits of Curly's advice.
Jonathan? He taking up the dogs? Oh, well, same goes for him.
Really?
It's wrong.
What?
I don't give advice no more. I just take the nippers.
Jonathan?
That's right. Well, you should see his formula, Mr. Stanford. Foolproof.
Jonathan's formula? Jonathan has a formula?
That's right. It's wonderful. Made a packet.
My boy, is this where your talents lie? Well, I've never known Curly to be wrong about anything concerning dogs. I say, what is this formula?
Well, I don't know.
Oh,
that...
you'd better tell us, Jonathan. I don't know that I'm really in a state to appreciate it, but
You'd better tell us.
Yes, go on, Nip. But after all, it's your mum and dad.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I asked myself the question, what is a dog? It's only an object hurling itself through the atmosphere. Therefore, the qualities in the atmosphere must affect the dog.
Sounds reasonable.
That's right.
So, the first thing you've got to allow for is wind velocity. I put that down as WV in my equation. Then there's temperature, T. Dogs run differently in different temperatures, you know.
Fascinating.
Anyone, what's AP? I seem to remember the letters AP in the formula gave Curly.
Oh, AP is atmospheric pressure. Oh, that's very important. Then there's humidity, H.
But how the devil do you manage to work all these things out?
Well, it's not hard if you know something about maths.
Foolproof.
I refuse to believe it. I mean, I've no doubt it's all very clever, and it may be as good a way of winning 20 quid as any other. But, Jonathan, gambling can become a vice, and the inveterate gambler always lives to regret his folly. In addition to which, it's wrong at your age to neglect your schoolwork for a few miserable pounds this brings you. Oh, caps for your gun aren't the most important things in the world, you know.
But I make more than a few miserable pounds.
You bet he does.
How much more? Enough to live on? Jonathan, gambling is a fool's game. And you know the old adage, a fool and his money are soon parted.
Oh, you've got it all wrong. Nipper's got talent. Won't never need to work or nothing.
You don't approve of work?
Not much.
Yes, I don't suppose you've done an honest day's work in your life.
Well, I had to work once. Shocking it was.
Exactly.
But your kid's a proper little genius. It'd be a shame to make him work.
Talent now genius. Really, Jonathan, you've at least made an impression.
Well, have you seen him with figures?
Figures?
Not this WVTAP stuff again.
Well, what's wrong with it? He's a miracle at it. Look, he can do things in his head in a split second. Most blokes couldn't do in an hour on a piece of paper.
It's just that I've got a freak brain.
You don't have to tell me that. Perverted might be more the adjective. But the point which everybody is overlooking is that all this is now going to stop. Jonathan will worry himself no more about formulas, and this Curly character will make himself scarce and never be seen in my son's presence again.
Aye?
I say, Ellen, that's a bit much. Curly here's a man of some dignity in his profession.
That's right.
I allow him his standing. But his is not the profession I want Jonathan to take up.
You mean I'm not the sort of chap you want the Nipper to hang about with? That's it, really, isn't it?
Since you've brought the matter up, there are different cultural levels of people.
And what's culture? It's only habit you get into. This is right and that's wrong. It's the same with the dogs.
Hardly.
Of course it is. They want to be on a winner, same as you do in the theatre. Or anyone else does anywhere, for that matter. All this talk about culture makes me sick.
You can't deny the culture of art.
Oh, yes, I can. What is it? Abbott. This is right, that's wrong. Here, what about this bloke, Henry Moore? Puts a great big hole where the belly ought to be. He says it's right and I say it's wrong. It's the same with all of it.
You deny the culture of education.
Now, wait a minute. I didn't say that. You can't tow too much, not about anything. You never know when it's going to come in useful.
Must it come in useful before it has any value?
Well, of course it must. It's all a racket. It's money that matters. Look, you can tie it up fancy with art and culture and a lot of other things, but it's really money. The old world's a racket, and the sooner you tumble to it, the better.
I shall now refute your arguments one by one.
Oh, for goodness sake, this isn't the brain stressed in it. I thought we were talking about Jonathan.
I'm glad Jonathan is here to observe what kind of a soul lies behind the equally ratty appearance of his erstwhile friend.
Aye?
But surely the whole point at issue is whether this system of Jonathan's really works or not.
What? You can overlook the fact that the boy has become a secret racing tout.
It is not a question of overlooking anything. My whole endeavour is to bring things out into the light. I can see no moral precept whatever in the matter. I simply want to discover, is Jonathan a good tout or a rotten tout?
Oh!
Would you like me to explain it more fully?
Nobody asked you to speak.
I'd like to hear more about it.
And come to think of it, so would I.
Marjorie!
Oh, like father, like daughter.
Well, nobody's given Jonathan much of a chance up till now. It sounds as though he's been frightfully clever about something, and even if it is a bit misguided, I think it's only fair that he should be allowed to speak to the motion of censure.
Well, Alan, it's the Peters against the Stanfords. I hate to see dissension in any family, but...
Oh, damn it, let Jonathan have the floor.
You're not serious.
What's the good of my protesting? I am merely the titular head of my household. Fathers are simply ciphers nowadays. A word from me and everyone under my roof does exactly as he jolly well likes.
It's the spirit. Now, Jonathan.
I... I may, Father?
Yes, yes.
Well, I told you the things I have to take into consideration. Humidity, wind pressure, moisture, temperature, and atmospheric pressure. Now, these five things are variable. There are also some constants I have to think about. The size of the dog, the weight of the dog, and its average speed over the distance.
That's it. Five variables and three constants. But I never could remember the formula. I couldn't work it out fast enough anyway.
This must be crazy.
All's gospel straight it is.
You mean anyone can do this?
Of course not. You've got to be able to do sums in a split second.
The variables can alter very quickly. On a gusty night, for instance, it's murder.
Well, dear, surely if the wind changes, it affects all the dogs in the same way.
No, it doesn't. You see, dogs aren't all the same shape.
Oh, they all look the same shape to me.
Oh, no, they're all different. Well, if they were all the same shape, how do you think they'd recognize each other?
Oh, I see. You think they're all different?
Of course they are. You've got to work out the angle of incidence of the wind in relation to the curvature of the spine of each dog and the shape of its clavicles. And then, before you're ready, the wind changes again. On a windy night, it can really be murder. You can lose a lot of money.
How much?
Oh, 1,000 or more.
A thousand? Do you mean £1,000?
Oh, yes. Oh!
What?
Whose money? Jonathan, I ask whose money?
Mine, I suppose.
Yours? You mean to tell me you have £1,000 to play about with?
Well, actually, I've got rather more than that.
£1,000? It's chicken feed to the nipper.
Well, how much more than £1,000? Jonathan, how much money have you got?
Well, at the moment, 24,453.
What?
Jonathan, the boy's mad.
Jules, right.
I can't believe it. Where do you keep this money?
In my satchel. I hide it behind the sideboard. Just a minute. There you are. It's all here.
Well, it's fantastic.
All right, Nipper's a genius, eh?
He certainly is. Yes. We've all learned a good deal from him, I feel.
Indeed we have. But, Alan, what are we going to do with him? His career in the theatre?
Go to hell with the theatre!
What?
Marjorie, ring the management and tell them I won't be in tonight nor ever again. And then let's get ourselves ready. Jonathan's taking us to the dogs.
So ends our Caltex play, The Facts of Life. In a moment, we will give you tonight's cast and tell you about next week's presentation in the Caltex Theater. The Facts of Life was written by Roger McDougall and adapted for radio by Bruce Stewart. In the starring role, you heard as Jonathan, Ray Hartley. The supporting cast was as follows. Alan, Ray Barrett, Marjorie, Joan Lord, Mrs. Peters, Rita Paunceford, Curly, Stuart Ginn, Stanford, Athol Fleming. Next week in the Caltex Theatre, you will hear It's an Ill Wind, a realistic story in which father and son find themselves at loggerheads over the question as to who should rule in today's industrial world, and the old order and the new clash head-on in a struggle for survival. Be listening for It's an Ill Wind next week. Remember, too, The Criminals and The Little Door, further outstanding productions shortly to be heard in the Caltex Theatre. Now, this is your compere, Rick Hutton, bidding you good night on behalf of your hosts, Caltex Oil, marketers of Caltex Super Gasoline and Caltex Gasoline, the world-famous RPM 1030 Special Motor Oil, and Marfac Lubrication.